Welcome to Stand in the Gap Today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler of the American Pastors Network, addressing the most critical issues impacting our culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. Learn more about the work of the American Pastors Network at AmericanPastorsNetwork.net.
Well, many people are saying that it might be, well, what might be? That might be the real last election in America. We're going to talk about this on today's Stand in the Gap Today. Hello, this is Sam Rohr. I'm going to be joined with Gary Dahl and David Kistler today on this program. And it's interesting, 3 weeks from today, unless something major arises that prevents it from happening, Americans will go to the polls in the 2016 general election. My sense is that perhaps this is the most important single election, the presidential, than perhaps any before, although they've all been important. This one seems, though, to present something of a much higher importance. It seems like the stakes are higher. The nations of the world are hanging much more on the outcome of this election, it appears, than ever before. And I don't think it's a coincidence that that so many articles and so many people are saying that this may well be the last real election in the nation. Just a couple of weeks ago, former Congressman Michelle Bachmann said, quote, "If Hillary Clinton wins, this will be the last election," end quote. Just a couple of days ago, Robert Knight in the Washington Times entitled an article, "The Last Real Election." And there are many others. If you take and you Google some of those terms, you're going to find that. So there's something happening after today. I'd like to look at a few reasons why this election could, in fact, be the last real election. And it may, in fact, be if good people, patriots, evangelical Christians, and other freedom lovers don't get out and cast a vote for the presidential candidate team who will most likely defend freedom, justice, and bring justice to the criminals that are out there running about. Dave and Gary, I want to start with just a couple of things here right now to bring this first part forward of that, can justice or can justice be expected under a Clinton Kane administration? It does. It's amazing thing to me, Gary and Dave, the WikiLeaks revelations, in part, not all, some of the FBI emails being released, certainly indicates enormous scandal within the Clinton campaign, the Clinton Foundation, the DNC. Examples of corruption are just everywhere. Dave, I want to start with you on one that just came out. Was relative to the some of the FBI documents just released. One headline here says FBI documents expose, quote, a shadow government, end quote, protected that a shadow government protected Hillary in the email investigation. I'm going to read just a couple of things here, Dave, and just talk with you about it, because this caught my attention because it was last Friday, Gary, you and I, when we had on Chris Gobbets from Understanding the Threat, we talked about the presence of a shadow government existing within our federal government but directed by the Muslim Brotherhood. Now, I don't know that this doesn't say Muslim Brotherhood are in here, but this does talk about a shadow government. I'm going to read just a couple things here. It said in a letter addressed to Secretary of State John Kerry, the committee chair, Representative Jason Chavez from Republican from California, along with Representative Devin Nunes, the chair of the U.S. House Permanent Select Committee on Intelligence, claimed to have reasons to believe that Patrick Kennedy, and that name has come up as working a quid pro quo agreement between the FBI and the State Department relative to the declassifying of certain classified documents. They said, quote, he inappropriately influenced the review of Secretary Clinton's emails, end quote. It says, despite the uproar, the release sparked due to the bribery allegations, some news organizations took particular interest in the FBI's document mention of, quote, the shadow government, end quote, a group of, quote, very high-ranking state officials that some referred to as the seventh floor group, or the shadow government, end quote. Dave, we could spend a lot of time on this, but I want to go to you and say the mere fact that there is in FBI documents, and now you have congressional committees saying they actually used the word shadow government, that were involved in bribery actions to protect Hillary Clinton's emails, and they were going back and forth. Dave, just from the fact that that alone is coming out on top of everything else, is it any reason to believe that we could even expect any kind of justice to emanate out of a Clinton-Cain administration?
Sam, let me say this. I was just in Washington, D.C. last week, and I stood in front of the United States Supreme Court. There is Lady Liberty there. She is holding a balance in her hand. She has a blindfold on, and that imagery goes all the way back to Roman times, because justice is supposed to be blind. Across the top of the Supreme Court are these phenomenal words, equal justice under the law. However, Sam, what we are watching unfold via these WikiLeaks documents and all of the stuff you just mentioned, and probably a lot more yet to come out, is a revelation that under a Clinton administration, certainly what we've experienced under the Obama administration, a Clinton administration would mean more of the same, if not greater, escalation of this kind of collusion. There is no justice anymore with Hillary Clinton, with Barack Obama. Sam, I'm going to say it as plain as I can say it. The only chance we have in this upcoming election for anything remotely close to justice is making sure that Hillary Clinton does not get into the White House.
Gary, I want to go to you because just some days ago, there were a number of articles that talked about the 10 most significant scandals, excuse me, 10 most significant scandals that were identified in some of the WikiLeaks email releases. One of them I just want to bring up to you. One of them says that, and I'm quoting from it here, Mrs. Clinton's spokesperson mocked Catholics and evangelicals as severely backwards. The email show that campaign spokeswoman Jennifer Palmieri and other ally Clinton allies openly talked about Catholics, evangelicals as being severely backwards and charging that they don't, quote, know what the hell they are talking about, end quote. Highly, highly disrespectful, Gary. And yet she stands up, this team stands up and talks that if they are the defenders of freedom, the defenders, they love everybody and they want to bring everybody together. Gary, is it possible when you have such double speak and comments such as this, that a Clinton-Cain administration can actually work justly on behalf of all Americans?
Well, absolutely not. I mean, you know, there is no equality there. There is no equal justice there. There will be the taking away of our freedoms. I mean, you know, it's already been brought out, Sam, that Hillary believes that you've got to be one person in private and another person in public. And that's what we are seeing in a lot of these things that are coming out by WikiLeaks. And, of course, it also shows us what her attitude is towards Christians, whether you're talking about Catholics or evangelicals. I kind of believe that if Hillary Clinton gets into the White House, we are going to find that the First Amendment will be taken away from us and our freedom of religion will be lost.
Gary and Dave, thank you for that commentary. We just talked, ladies and gentlemen, just briefly about the whole question of could justice be expected under a Clinton-Cain administration relative to this being perhaps the last real election. We basically said this group have nothing to do with justice. They clearly oppose it. In this next segment, we're going to come back. We're going to talk about what a Clinton-Cain appointment to the Supreme Court would mean for the separation of separation of powers and all that goes along with that. We'll be right back and talk about that in just a minute. Christian parents want their children to excel in spiritual growth and educational achievement. Both are essential for future success in an increasingly complex world full of moral and economic challenges. BJU Press Materials place great value on the knowledge of God in His works. They teach critical thinking skills your child will need to get along both now and in the future. BJU Press Materials are available for grades K-12. From the earliest grades, they teach biblical Christianity as a system of God-revealed truths. BJU Press Materials
materials are well-written, grade-level appropriate, and biblically integrated. Teacher's Editions assure that instructors have the plans and extra tools to keep your child engaged and excited about learning by teaching your child how to analyze, evaluate, and ultimately create new solutions. And that's just what today's workplace is looking for. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
What is government itself but the greatest of all reflections upon human nature? If men were angels, no government would be necessary. If angels were to govern men, neither external nor internal controls on government would be necessary. A quote from James Madison.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
Remember, in this political season, it is God who changes the times and seasons. He sets up kings and deposes them. He gives wisdom to the wise and knowledge to the discerning. Daniel 2:21.
History was made on today's date. Stay tuned for an American Minute with Bill Federer.
Pilgrim leader Edward Winslow was born this day, October 18, 1595. He was English agent for the Plymouth Colony and served as their governor three separate terms, successfully making friendship with Indian chief Massasoit. He later served Oliver Cromwell in the English Civil War. In writing of the Pilgrims' experiences, Edward Winslow recounted, "Drought and the like moved not only every good man privately to enter into examination of his own estate between God and his conscience, and so to humiliation before him, but also to humble ourselves together before the Lord by fasting and prayer."
This has been an American Minute with Bill Federer. For a free transcript, call American Minute at 1-888-USA-WORD.
Ministries invites you to join us for the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast this November 4th at the Crown Plaza in King of Prussia. Men and women will meet to fellowship, network, pray, and hear the testimony of notable Christians in the public eye, and of course, enjoy a delicious breakfast. For over 20 years, the Valley Forge Leadership Prayer Breakfast has been a wonderful blessing to Christian professionals living out their faith, as well as a unique opportunity to introduce the gospel to unchurched friends in a warm and comfortable setting. Our 2016 keynote speaker is General Jerry Boykin, original member of Delta Force, military leader, author, and pastor. General Boykin will share exciting accounts of fighting on the battlefield and of faith while serving at the top levels of government. Invite your friends to hear the insights behind what drives this true American warrior to follow, serve, and lead. For more information and online registration, visit vflpb.org. That is vflpb.org.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap Today.
As we continue through this program today, it's on the basic theme of, will this be the last real election? And obviously, that statement is intended to generate a little bit of thought relative to what, in fact, could happen if the Kane-Clinton or the Clinton-Kane ticket is, in fact, elected, when we are finding out so many things relative to how they have been conducting themselves. This, the first segment was on this matter of justice, the fact that a shadow government's actually operating within the State Department, colluding with the Justice Department and FBI in the holding up the presenting of the emails and a whole bunch of other things. But there are many who believe that a Clinton-Kane involvement as it would relate to the Supreme Court would make a difference relative to future elections. You know, I think as most people understand, there are probably going to be about three, four, whatever in there that will be enough justices that are going to be assigned or recommended and appointed by the next president. And it seems to me that if for no other reason, anybody who has a love for America cannot be thinking about sitting out this election and not engaged in voting when you know that somebody is going to be appointed. And in fact, the Hillary Clinton's team have already said what they're going to do. Dave, I want to go to you, but I want to read something here first. Hillary Clinton recently said, quote, "The Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment," end quote. And when she accepted her nomination at the DNC, she said, quote, "We need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will get money out of politics and expand voting rights, not restrict them. We'll pass a constitutional amendment to overturn Citizens United," end quote. And then it goes on, talks about other things. Well, she really referred to the First and Second Amendments in that statement. Dave, I want to go to you first and say, when she says that the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment, that really should raise the ire of everybody who's listening. Yesterday, we talked on this program about the First Amendment and that Hillary and the Islamic group that she is associating with have really targeted the First Amendment as the first freedom to go if she is there. When she uses that word wrong on the First Amendment, Dave, what should that say to everybody who's listening about why the Clinton-Cain administration could be so damaging to the freedom of this country?
Sam, let me read some additional statements she has made with respect to that. She said, "I don't believe the NRA," talking about the National Rifle Association, "represents most gun owners in the United States of America." She went on and has said that the NRA has intimidated Congress, not simply into inaction on gun control, but into, quote, "passing the most absurd laws." She's also, Sam, on record from a video that has surfaced recently from back in 2015, October of a year ago, where she said this. Sam, listen to this. "The NRA is, quote, pernicious and has a, quote, corrupting influence." She talked about how proud she was of watching her husband go after the NRA in 1994 via what many Americans will remember. Many in our audience will well remember the assault weapon ban. She said she reveled in what her husband did. And she said, "We've got to get after this. And here again, the Supreme Court is wrong on the Second Amendment, and I'm going to make the case every chance I get." Sam, that ought to frighten every gun owner in America out of their mind. She is on record. She's on record saying, "I'm going after both the First and Second Amendments, the two most precious liberties that we have, and that's our religious liberty and our right to keep and bear arms." Sam, that should awaken any sleeping individual and motivate them to go to the polls and vote and not for her.
And Gary, I want to go to you next, because not just for those who are listening who understand the importance of the Second Amendment, not just for those who are listening who understand the protections for free speech, for the pulpits of America to preach openly, for us to be able to mention that Islam, for instance, is not a good thing for our country. That would be hate speech under what they would talk about. You couldn't say that anymore. Dave, the fact that she says it is wrong to me raises the issue of, all right, well then exactly what is your standard of morality, Hillary Clinton and Tim Kaine? That brings me to the next question. They've already said in other places what they're going to do relative to abortion, Roe versus Wade consideration, marriage, which has already been ruled on, other perversions of human sexuality protections, all that kind of thing. Gary, the Supreme Court, and by the what they're saying, they want to put people on there that are going to further redefine the issues of the whole range of morality. That is a troubling thing, and by itself should make everybody get up out of their seat and go vote for the person who's going to protect freedom too, right?
Absolutely right. I want to answer that question, and I want to answer that question directly, very directly, and then I have a quick question for you too, Sam, if you can answer it as well. My answer to your question is, and I just say to all of our listeners, take a look at what the Clinton-Cain people are saying. Please take a look at what they're saying and listen to them. And I say that simply because of the fact that with that ticket and with that platform, There is no biblical foundation. There is no moral truth. And there is no respect for the Constitution of the United States of America. Keep those three things in mind in that ticket. No biblical foundation, no moral truth, and no respect for the United States Constitution. When you put that trilogy together, what you find is a mess for the next 4 years or 8 years. And beyond that, if she gets in there, because we know the kind of Supreme Court justices that she will put on the court. And so it's a very, very serious condition that we are facing. And it's absolutely significant that we who love America, well, let me put it this way, that we who love God's word, we who love good biblical morality, and we who love the Constitution, get out and vote. Please listen to these admonitions, ladies and gentlemen. But Sam, I want to go back to something that you said in the very first segment, and I can imagine that people all across America are asking this question, and it's burning to be answered, I believe. You don't have to go into it in detail, but this is what you said. In just 3 weeks from today, unless some major event arises that prevents it, Americans will go to the polls. Now, Mr. Sam, what do you have in mind there? What kind of a major event would happen that would prevent an upcoming election that gives you concern?
Well, Gary, I'm glad you asked that, because I phrased that carefully, because we know that 3 weeks from today of this program, November 8th, is the scheduled time for the election. But, Gary, there are things that are happening. This administration is causing things to happen. They have telegraphed things. I don't know whether it will come about or not, but it is clear. It is clear. Even in some of the tapes, some of the information that just came out from this Joe O'Keefe, who went undercover inside the Clinton campaign, inside the DNC, inside the operatives. I listened to some of that this morning. Some of the statements they made were unbelievable. They were talking about, one quote I heard said this: this election is so important, we must do everything, whatever it takes, to make sure we win. Gary, that holds within a lot of things. But ladies and gentlemen, I mean, Gary, Russian neighbors.
Settle down, Sam.
Gary, you got me going.
I know.
Russian naval ships are crossing the English Channel right now. You know that?
Mm-hmm. Yes, sir.
We have more military equipment on our side than down in the Garcia Islands there in the Indian Ocean than have ever been assembled in one place. This world is a boiling pot in Israel all over, and there are threats right now talking about something taking place. You could have war before then, Gary. You could have a number of things that this president, if they believe that a Donald Trump is going to win and they are so opposed, they can make things happen, and their indications are between the globalists and between the establishment and between the Islamists, they do not care what it takes, Gary. So that is a long answer to your short question. But that's why I say, if something doesn't arise, Americans will go to the polls. There are many who would be prepared to do things to not permit that to happen, because there's so much at stake in this election.
And that's why I asked that question, and all that they would need to do if they caused or created something like that to happen is to bring in martial law, and there would be no election.
That unfortunately is a reality, because Congress has given to this president the ability to do that. I use the word legally, because they've given the authority to do it. Not lawfully. The Constitution does not permit such a thing, but they have granted it legally. So this is a high-stakes election under any circumstance, a high-stakes election, which means all those who love freedom, love liberty, love our Constitution, love the concept of private property and the Second Amendment, free speech and the First Amendment, they cannot sit back and say, well, what will be. They're going to be enabling one side or the other, and the Hillary Clinton-Cain side we're just describing exactly what they're all about. Ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to Stand in the Gap today. Sam Rohr, David Kistler, and Gary Dahl, as we talk about, will this in fact be the last real election? I hope not. And if good people get up and they vote right, I believe that it doesn't necessarily happen to be. When we come back, we're going to be talking in the next section about voting integrity, because there's a huge effort right now for voter fraud and to disturb this election through destroying voter integrity. We'll talk about that when we return after these announcements.
Fox News Radio. I'm Chris Foster. At a news conference with the Italian Prime Minister, President Obama says Donald Trump's flattery of Russian President Vladimir Putin,
the degree to which he appears to model many of his policies and approaches to politics on Mr. Putin, is unprecedented in American politics.
Trump has said Putin's a better leader than President Obama. He campaigns in Colorado today, Trump, that is. Hillary Clinton's off the trail, getting ready for tomorrow night's third and final debate.
Meanwhile, the Clinton campaign is spending big money in states Democrats haven't won in decades, including in Arizona, with a $2 million ad buy. The Clinton camp is pouring an additional $1 million into efforts in Missouri and Indiana, both states with competitive Senate races.
Fox's Rachel Sutherland in Washington. Midday on Wall Street, the Dow's up 101 points. Fox News, we report, you decide.
From the Pennsylvania Family Institute, I'm Michael Gear with today's Family Update. Have you ever experienced that uncomfortable circumstance which I call voter surprise? That's what happens when you walk into the voting booth on election day, confident of your choices, when suddenly you see one or two races or candidates on the ballot that you had no idea would be there. Then you're left with no idea what to do with those particular choices. What's the answer? Well, before you go vote, make sure to visit Pennsylvania Family Institute's comprehensive online voter's guide, which will create a personal voter's guide just for you, with only the candidates and races on the ballot where you live and vote. To access this interactive voter's guide, go to pafamilyvoter.com. That's pafamilyvoter.com. It's the best way to avoid voter surprise when you go to vote on Tuesday, November 8th.
The Pennsylvania Family Institute. Protect the family. Preserve the future. Sign up for free email alerts at pafamily.org or call us at 1-800-FAMILY-1.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website, AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Continuing on this theme of this program today is that, will this in fact be the last real election in this country that so many people are saying, in fact, could be, based on all that we're finding coming out through WikiLeaks, all through the FBI release of emails and data, and all the corruption that we're finding. Dave and Gary, one of the things that is coming up that you're seeing, anybody can go out there now and look and find all over the news, is the issue of voting integrity. And I put that down here as the what would we expect under a Clinton-Kane team administration when it comes to matters of voter integrity, when in fact we're finding out what's involved here right now. Dave, in her acceptance speech at the DNC convention, Hillary said, quote, "We need to appoint Supreme Court justices who will expand voting rights, not restrict them," end quote. Now, that sounds like a noble thing, voting rights. Yet, Dave, what should concern every freedom-loving American about that statement, particularly as it comes to the matter of voting integrity? How can you expand voting rights?
Sam, you cannot expand voting rights. We have voting rights right now. This is not a time, this is not a period where women are restricted from voting or blacks are restricted from voting. What she's advocating there is just absolute abandonment of any kind of restriction whatsoever on illegals voting, on people that are not registered to vote, allowing them to vote. The problem is this, Sam. We have before us the opportunity to vote if you are registered and if you have the right to vote and should be voting. You're not a dead person like vote multiple times in the city of Chicago. And, you know, the opportunity to vote is there. I think Rudy Giuliani said it well. He said, you know, with all of this media attention, Sam, and I think it's critical that you brought this up, there is a concerted effort by most of the media to underscore the fact that there are no voting irregularities. Our voting system is safe currently. In this upcoming election, November 8, everything's going to be fine. Sam, I'm sorry, but that is not the truth. That is not the truth. And Rudy Giuliani said it best. He said, if you're going to try to get me to say that there will not be enormous irregularities and fraud in Chicago, in New York, I will never say that, because he said it's happened in the past. It's happened in Philadelphia. It's happened in other cities. Sam, there were irregularities last election cycle in our little community of Conley Springs. People attempting to vote for Mitt Romney, their vote was registered for Barack Obama. There was a huge controversy there. So to say that we want to expand voting rights means all bets are off, and a Clinton-Kaine ticket would be the end of the electoral process as far as a just electoral process as we know it.
Dave, I'm looking right now at a I'm front page of Drudge. I like to go there often. It's, they have the news from all over. Here's just a couple of headlines here right now. Here's one. 4 million ineligible and dead voters on the voter rolls. Here's another. Massive voter fraud investigation underway in Texas. Here's another one that's just come out. The headline right now. Hijab for Hillary. Record 65 million non-English speakers in the USA. Arabic, the fastest growing. They're all for Hillary. And they just announced this morning, I'm looking at it here right now, a PAC. The first ever American Muslim Women PAC announces endorsement for Hillary Clinton. Surprised, Gary and Dave? Surprised? They're ready to hit the ground running. This PAC, first ever political action PAC, I don't know how much money they have, but they are saying they're putting their whole weight behind Hillary Clinton. We proudly endorse Hillary Clinton for president on the International Day of the Girl, which is a funny thing coming from them. But all I'm saying there, Dave and Gary, is that across the front, across the whole spectrum, this administration is also, I don't know if we've talked about it on here or not, but they're trying to get, and they have been now for about a year, trying to orchestrate the, I think it's like 6.5 million Americans that live overseas that still hold American passports and voting right, trying to organize all these people and vote in block back here. The whole thing is so suspect and open to fraud. It's an amazing thing. They're all about that. So, Dave, you laid it out there, I think, very, very well. And I believe we have a listener on the phone right now who would like to have a question or make a comment on this issue of voter fraud. If we could bring him up right now. Mac, are you there, please?
Yes, I am, Brother Sam. The thing that really, my spirit is so heavy right now, both me and my wife, and all I can think of with all this corruption that abounds is a message that I heard, you know, Jack Cobb, that I read, this kind goeth not forth but by prayer and fasting. In my life, we had an incident. Of course, everybody knows what a worst pastor's nightmare is, a split. And we were right about split down the middle. And three of us, the Lord spoke to me about it. I called a couple people, the pastor and somebody else. We prayed and fasted, and the problem was averted. And this is larger scale than we can ever imagine. It's bad. And you call your representatives, they don't listen. And I believe a couple times on your program, you had said how the only thing that's going to happen is for God to intervene. That doesn't mean I agree that we shouldn't be innocent bystanders. I've called my congressman, I've spoke to pastors that have it wrong, that I think the time has come for us as believers in Christ to pray and fast and really get on our hearts, get on our knees and call on the Lord to thwart their plans and to stop this and to intervene, because it's just bad. I think that's the best thing, one of the best things we can do, pray and fast.
Mac, great admonition. Thank you for calling in and sharing that with listeners across the country. We agree with you, and there are actually, Dave, I want to go to you. Mac, I'll let you go. Thanks for calling in on that. But Dave, you are a part of a prayer effort coming out of Washington D.C. Right now, we're in the midst of it. Speak a little bit about what you're doing and leading in that effort.
Sam, beginning on October 7, going all the way up till Election Day, November 8, we started a thing on the 7th of October called 30 Days of Prayer. We're now on day 11, and we have prayer leaders that are leading us, and they've submitted videos to our website, to us, and they're being posted on the website. These are some of the nation's top leaders, and some of these are yet to come. Senate Chaplain Barry Black, Dr. Robert Jeffries, First Baptist Dallas, Texas, Dr. Mark Harris from First Baptist Charlotte, who is intimately involved in the electoral process this time, and a host of others that are leading us in prayer. And we're asking people to go to the Hope to the Hill website, just hopetothehill.com, view the prayer, and then use it as a model for your own prayer for the nation. And Sam, I could not concur more with what Mac just said. In fact, tomorrow night at 9 o'clock is going to be the third and final debate. I know people around the country, there's going to be a number of us doing this, and I would challenge my brothers and sisters in Christ, if you would be willing to participate, and that is fast and pray tomorrow, that tomorrow evening's debate would be one that would reveal both error, lies, and also reveal truth and integrity, and that people would see what is at stake in this election, and then that the electoral process would go forward on November 8. In fact, early voting is going on now, but that the entire process, whether early voting or voting on election day, it would all go forward without this massive voter fraud, Sam, that you've talked about. Because this is a time, Sam, where I firmly believe if Hillary Clinton is defeated, it will be the hand of God involved in it, because they have the tentacles of their influence in every aspect of the voting process. And Mac's right. It's not good, but God is greater.
I want to jump in here, Sam, if I may, and agree with Dave 100%, and I knew you were going to do that as well. Mm-hmm. I think that one of the problems in the Church of Jesus Christ today is this very thing. And Mac brought it up. Dave went along with it, and I agree. Prayer and fasting. I would like to ask this question to all of our Christian listeners today across the nation. Have you ever fasted and prayed? Period. Hmm. And do you know how to do it? Do you know what it's for? That's just a couple of questions to throw out. We are facing, Dave, you and I have been on the radio together for many years, for probably at least three presidential election cycles. and I can remember with every one, we said this is the most important election in our lifetime. Would you agree to that? I mean, we said that over and over again.
Absolutely, I agree.
But this is the most important one. And unless we as Christians do what God tells us to do to get things done, which is to pray and fast, we could see a great loss in this upcoming election. And Sam, I believe that it's been told Donald Trump that if indeed he does win the election, it's not because of him, but it's because of the prayers of God's people and the working of the sovereign God in putting him into that office.
Gary, you are correct, and that is something. Donald Trump is receiving good and continual input from men and women of God. He's asking for it. He's receiving it. And one thing I can share is that many who are talking have said, listen, Donald, if you win, it won't be because of you. It'll be because of what God has done. The positions that you are taking are right positions, but only God can win this election. So that is why, ladies and gentlemen, prayer and fasting by God's people is not out of order. It is the only thing perhaps that is in order right now in these days. So listen to very carefully what has been said, and I hope you take this to heart, what Max said and what we're saying. We're going to come back in the next segment now, and we're going to conclude with looking at this issue of what can we do? What can freedom-loving Americans do? What should the pulpit do? What should the person in office do who has integrity? And what should every Christian citizen do? And we're going to talk about some of what we just rehearsed right now, but we're going to rephrase it in this next segment. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
This is your host, Sam Rohr. When it comes to financial stewardship, wills, and tax estate planning, you can trust the Life Financial Group, one of our Stand in the Gap Today radio sponsors. The Life Financial Group has worked alongside believers across America for nearly 40 years, providing counsel and biblical direction to Christians so they can provide for their families and leave a legacy of significance. Call the Life Financial Group today at 800-688-5800 for a free copy of Protecting Yourself from Fraud. That's 800-688-5800.
A wise and frugal government, which shall restrain men from injuring one another, shall leave them otherwise free to regulate their own pursuits of industry and improvement, and shall not take from the mouth of labor the bread it has earned. This is the sum of good government. Taken from Thomas Jefferson's first inaugural address, March 4th, 1801.
Hello, this is Sam Rohr. Although the term Christian education doesn't occur in the Bible, it does speak of the moral and spiritual instruction of children. It places a high value on knowledge, both of God and His works. It describes the moral and spiritual fruits of this knowledge and defines its ultimate purpose, the growth of your child in godliness of character and action. That's why we suggest you consider BJU Press K-12 materials. Your child's a unique individual created for a specific purpose. Proper instruction that includes the Bible and the relational influence of godly teachers produces a pure heart and a willing mind. The Bible calls that success. BJU Press materials are well written, grade level appropriate, and biblically integrated. They teach critical thinking skills and keep your child engaged and excited about learning. If you're a Christian school teacher or administrator, a homeschool teacher, or a parent who just wants your child to learn more, start by exploring the BJU Press website. Visit bjupress.com. That's bjupress.com.
Pray for this nation in our time of need and our leadership crisis. He will be the stability of your times, a wealth of salvation, wisdom, and knowledge. That's Isaiah 33:6.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
There are over 42,000 cyber school students in Pennsylvania. Miss Philadelphia 2015 was a 2009 graduate of Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School. Athletes, actors, musicians, scholars, and community leaders appreciate the flexible schedule cyber school offers so they can pursue their passions, become independent learners, critical thinkers, and empowered leaders. Learn more today. Visit www.palcs.org or call 1-877-725-2785. That's www.palcs.org for Pennsylvania Leadership Charter School.
PA Leadership Charter School. Lead, don't follow.
Berks County Republican Committee invites you to their annual fall dinner Thursday, October 27th at Stokesay Castle in Reading, Pennsylvania. Doors open at 6 and the buffet dinner begins at 7 p.m. Cost for both is $75. The cost for the VIP champagne reception and dinner is $225. Meet the keynote speaker, Dr. Carol M. Swain, professor of political science and law at Vanderbilt University, who is prominently featured in Dinesh D'Souza's movie, Hillary's America.
How long will America as the nation we know survive? And I believe that this election is a pivotal election, that if Republicans don't gain control over the mechanisms of government and reinstate the Constitution and the rule of law, I believe our nation will fall into chaos and it may fall as a world power.
Those attending the VIP reception will receive a complimentary signed copy of Dr. Swain's book, Be the People, A Call to Reclaim America's Faith and Promise. For more information or to make a reservation by October 20th, go to www.berksgop.com.
You're listening to Stand in the Gap Today, the daily radio program of the American Pastors Network. For more information, visit the APN website. AmericanPastorsNetwork.net. And now, let's rejoin Stand in the Gap today.
Well, as we wrap up this program today, Gary and Dave, I want to go to the practical section here right now. We try to conclude with that always, is that, all right, if in fact, there are many good people who believe that this election, so critical, so pivotal, the choice between not so much even two individuals as two futures, two completely different world views, two different approaches to the definition and enactment of justice, two different views relative to the value of the Constitution, two different views towards the qualities of the justices to be appointed to the Supreme Court, two completely different views of really everything that we're talking about, freedom, the First Amendment, the Second Amendment. That's why, Gary, I think you and David, as we're talking here, and you said that every election has been important, to which we fully agree, this one has a particular importance that should cause everyone to stand up and be involved. I'm going to go back here and start with you, Gary, on this. And I think you can give us a little bit of update, too, in this regard. But what should the church and pastor do in this regard? Because I want to talk about what the pastor do, what can those in office do, and what can the citizens do generally. So, Gary, let's start with you. You're pastor of a church. What should the church and pastors be doing now and ongoing in order to address these concerns we've been talking about on this program?
Well, you know, Sam, it's interesting. Yesterday when we had Jeremy Dice on, from who's senior counsel to First Liberty Institute, as I recall, he mentioned that the thing that we as Christians must do is simply stand up. And, of course, what he meant there is that we've just got to go out, stand up, speak up. You know, the Bible teaches us that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. We are the pillar and the ground of truth. We are the ambassadors of Jesus Christ on earth. And therefore, it is our responsibility to fulfill those positions that we have in the body of Christ. And if we ask the Lord to give us the grace and the strength to do it and the boldness to do it, He will do it. You know, God has never sent us out with a commission without giving us the promise that, lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the earth, the end of the world. So, you know, we do need to take our responsibility as Christians in this world very seriously, meaning that the pastor must preach the Word of God, all of the Word of God, and he must encourage his congregation to stand up and speak out on matters of biblical truth, biblical morality, and even, as we've talked earlier, the matter of our Constitution, because our Constitution, as we know, is very, very well biblically based. You know, to tie into that, yesterday we talked about the fact that here in Altoona, Pennsylvania, where I live in central Pennsylvania, our school district is one of 501 school districts in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. And the size of our school, as I understand it, is in the top 20 in the state. Well, as our folks may remember yesterday, there was an effort to get the national motto, "In God We Trust," placed in the boardroom of the school district. Hmm. There were those who opposed it. But there were Christians who stood up. They spoke out at the school board meetings. And I'm happy to report to everybody today that last night when the school board had its meeting, they voted 7-2, I believe it was, might have been 6-3, one of the two, but overwhelmingly to put that particular motto up in the very center of the Altoona school board room. So, you know, you stand up and you speak out and things happen.
Gary, that's a great thing. So that I wanted you to give that update so people know, because they were following yesterday. God did grant that, and the vote did go accordingly. It was a good thing that you were there and that others were there. Gary, in 30 seconds or so, because I want to go to Dave on the those in office, but what should pastors be doing right now to address this matter of the election, of integrity and so forth? What should they be doing?
Well, I think they need to preach truth and integrity from the pulpit. And I think that, once again, they need to preach biblical principles and show very clearly how the GOP platform is very biblically based. We must, as pastors, remind our people that we're not voting for a person. We are voting for a platform and policy. And let me say this, lead their people in prayer and fasting. That's a very important thing to do.
Okay, I was hoping you were going to say that, because that's what we just talked about. Very, very, very critical. Dave, those who are in office are called ministers of God. Whether they know it or not, most of them don't. But they do have a responsibility, too, at times such as this in our nation's history, when the disrespect for law and order, for the disrespect for the Constitution, for the rejection of moral truth, all of those things we've talked about is so prevalent. What can or should those who are in office, who understand what truth is, what should they be doing now?
Sam, the time is now for courageous leadership among those that are in elected office. They must stand up and, like never before, speak the truth, stand for the truth, crusade for truth, and any other verb I can think of that would be appropriate. Truth is falling in the streets, Sam. These emails that are incessantly coming out, and I'm glad, to be honest with you, they're coming out because it is showing the American people the corruption and the lack of truth that exists on the part of so many in government. So those that know Christ, those that do love the Lord, those that are committed to the U.S. Constitution, those that are committed to truth need to stand up and shout it from the housetops. And Sam, do so even if it costs them their election. There are things greater at stake here than just winning the next election. And tragically, that is what far too many politicians see. That's as far as they see, is the next election. Listen, this is the future of our country and the kind of thing we're going to leave to our children and grandchildren after us. So speak the truth, politicians. Speak and stand for the truth.
And Dave and Sam, I just want to say that on the motto matter here in the Altoona School District, somebody that we both know, State Representative John McGinnis, did stand up and speak out in favor of it. And Dave, he did just exactly what you're telling other politicians across the nation to do.
Gary, I was aware that he did that. I was thrilled by that. And Sam, I hate to cut you off. I'm sorry, my brother, but what happened there in Altoona happened several years ago in our local city council meeting. Our guys courageously acted and put the motto right up in a prominent place. So I say a shout out to them. Thank you guys for modeling the very thing we're talking about. Courageous speakers of the truth and standers for the truth.
Dave, unfortunately, you're breaking up there, folks. We're having a technical problem with getting Dave's comments. But, Gary, I want to go back to you as we conclude here in this comment, because what we're talking about, the proclamation of truth, truth being biblical-based truth, eternal truth, when truth is pronounced and put forward by those in positions of authority, be they in office or be they from the pulpit or be they a father and a mother in a home, there is something dynamic that happens with the proclamation of truth. Gary, finished at the program today just talking about the power of truth, because who is the communicator of truth? And it's not up to us, is it? I mean, Gary, I mean, we got to speak it, but where's the power come from when truth is pronounced?
The power comes from the Spirit of God, because he's the one who teaches us and proclaims truth. And, you know, I think of 1 Thessalonians 2:13 that tells us that the Word of God works effectually in the lives of those who believe it. When we proclaim the truth of the Word of God, the Spirit of God will take the truth of the Word of God and bring a positive effect.
Ladies and gentlemen, truth does prevail. It's the truth that sets one free. That's a biblical command, but it's also on the house ceiling of our House of Representatives in Pennsylvania. And you shall know the truth, and truth shall set you free. Standing in a Gap for Truth, Standing in a Gap today, this program, Standing in a Gap weekend, our weekend program, and the Minute program is all about the truth. There's power in truth. We encourage you, ladies and gentlemen, know the truth, stand on it, proclaim it, and like never before, stand in the gap for truth now. We'll see you back in 23 hours from now.
We hope you've enjoyed listening to Stand in the Gap today with Sam Rohr, Gary Dahl, and David Kistler. Brought to you by the American Pastors Network. Every day on this station, we address the most urgent issues undermining the culture from a biblical and constitutional perspective. APN takes seriously the command to be salt and light in this culture. Our mission is to declare truth into the public square, bringing a biblical worldview to the issues of the day. we seek to build a dynamic network of pastors across the nation who hold firmly to the authority of Scripture and boldly preach the whole counsel of God. This ministry is supported through the prayers and financial support of people like you, and we urge you to do all you can to help the American Pastors Network accomplish this mission. To learn more, visit www.AmericanPastorsNetwork.net and help us with your donation today. Find out how we're impacting the culture and how you can join in the mission. Join us again tomorrow for Stand in the Gap Today.
If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and heal their land. 2 Chronicles 7:14. WFYL reminds you to pray for America.
Live from beautiful West Norriton Township, this is AM 1180.